And now, Backstage Wife, the story of Mary Noble and what it means to be the wife of a famous star. The garden party that Julia Dixon suggested be given at Rupert Barlow's Long Island estate at Oyster Bay has scarcely turned out as Julia would have hoped. For the guest of honor, handsome young Oliver Wilson, spent scarcely any time with Julia, and now he's disappeared entirely to drive middle-aged Maud Marlowe out to the Noble's house in nearby Rosehaven. And even before that, Rupert Barlow drove Mary Noble home, and he made it quite clear that he expected to be invited inside. And so now we find Mary and Rupert sitting in the living room, a nice breeze blowing in from the terrace, and the light just beginning to grow dim.
What are you listening for, Mary? You're like a little wren with her face turned up inquiringly.
Oh, I was just listening for sounds from upstairs.
Hmm? What do you mean?
I want to make sure Larry Jr. is actually going to bed, as I told him.
Oh, are you always so conscientious?
Of course. Why?
Well, I only wondered. You see, ever since I came back here with you, it seems that you've been completely preoccupied with anything and everything except me.
But that's quite silly. I told you I had to give Larry Jr. his supper and see that he got to bed. Phoebe went out earlier this afternoon, and so naturally I'm paying attention to my son. What kind of mother would I be if I didn't?
You don't have to ever worry about that, my dear. You'll always be perfect, no matter what you do.
I know that isn't true.
Oh, I say it is. Are you going to argue with me?
No, certainly not. Seldom that a person hears such nice things said about her.
I'd be only too glad to say more, if you'd give me the chance.
Please, Rupert.
Haven't I shown you how deeply I feel about you? Haven't I always been ready to do anything you've asked of me?
Yes. Yes, you certainly have. You've been a wonderful friend.
Being a friend isn't enough.
I don't understand.
Don't you believe that a marriage should be a bargain where the two partners share equally?
Why, yes, of course. Larry and I have always felt that way about our marriage.
Are you sure?
Certainly I'm sure.
Isn't it possible that Larry might want you to believe it's an equal partnership, as long as he enjoys the benefits of his extra privileges?
You said something like that this afternoon, Rupert. I wish you wouldn't say it again.
Well, I wish I didn't feel it was necessary, but I do, Mary. Can't you see that I'm trying to open your eyes, to make you understand how unfair this marriage of yours is turning out?
Don't you think that's up to the two people who are married?
Ordinarily, yes. I wouldn't dream of trying to interfere. But you're special, Mary, so terribly special. And I've seen what's happened to you. I've tried to keep silent, but it's become too much for me. I have to speak. I believe I've earned that right, at least.
Yes, I expect you have.
There have been a series of incidents, scandals, ceaseless gossip.
And so much of it has been about us, Rupert, about you and me.
Wherever I go, there'll always be stories. It's the curse of having money.
My next-door neighbor, Florence Baker, took it seriously. That's why Larry borrowed money from you to send me to Bermuda with Larry Jr.
That's what he told you, to be sure. But in view of his recent behavior, do you really believe him?
But what other reason could he have had to risk our property, practically everything we own?
Mary, you know that if Larry had come to me and said he wanted to send you away because people were talking about us, you and me, I'd have insisted on lending him the money as a friend.
But that's just what he did do.
Not at all. Larry didn't take me into his confidence a bit. He only said that he had to have this money, that he was ready to risk his securities to get it. Well, I tried to reason with him, my dear, but he was like a man so obsessed. And I didn't learn until later what his reason was.
What do you mean?
Well, I hate to say these things, but I must. I had Larry watched. I felt I had to know. And I have the facts now. Well, I won't go into them, Mary. There's no need of that, since it's all in the past. But don't you see that right now Larry is repeating the same old pattern with Claudia Vincent? Only this time he believes he can bluster through on the flimsy excuse of helping her in her stage career. Do you actually believe that's his only interest, Mary?
What? I don't know what to believe now, Rupert. You haven't made me feel very comfortable.
Because I have to shake you out of this false belief in a man who isn't worthy of your trust.
I don't believe that, Rupert. I'll never believe it.
Well, I don't expect you to believe it all at once, Mary. I only want you to start thinking over what I've said. To figure this out for yourself. And always bear in mind that you can count on me for anything, Mary, at any time.
Thank you, Rupert. I don't know what to think.
Darling. Oh, my love. I've made you unhappy, haven't I? Here. Let me take you in my arms.
Mary! Oh. Mary, are you there?
Oh, yes, Maud. We're inside here.
Oh, they're inside, Oliver. Come right in.
Thank you.
Well, for goodness sake, what are you sitting here in the dark for?
Oh, well, I didn't realize it was so dark. Let me turn on some light.
No, don't bother. I'm closer to the switch. Oh, well, Mr. Barlow, I didn't see you when I came in.
Miss Marlowe?
How did you get back, Maud?
Well, Mr. Wilson was good enough to drive me over, but I couldn't believe it when they told me you had left. It just didn't seem possible.
I only thought you wouldn't be ready to go, and since Rupert said he'd tell his chauffeur Victor to bring you back, I thought it would be nicer for you.
Well, we had a jolly ride over, didn't we, Miss Marlowe?
Yes, indeed. Oh, it was very nice of you, dear boy. Oh, won't you sit down and join us for a bit?
Well, thank you. That'll be very pleasant.
And just where is Julia right now?
I expect she's back home, sir. At least that's where I left her.
Oh. Then don't you think it would be better if you went back to her? She may wonder where you are.
I fancy she won't worry. Well, I beg your pardon, Miss Marlowe. No offense, ma'am.
Oh, that's quite all right, Oliver. I understand perfectly.
It's been very nice meeting you, Mr. Wilson. We've all been hearing such a lot about you.
Really? How interesting. I expect Mr. Barlow has filled you full of stories of what a double-dyed deceiver I am. But don't you believe him? Just because I've fallen head over heels for Julia shouldn't put me in the doghouse. She's a dashed attractive woman.
Oh, don't talk such rot. As if Julia Dixon would take you seriously, a penniless young upstart who's wormed his way over to the States because he thinks the chances to marry a fortune are better.
Rupert, that's a terrible thing to say.
Oh, don't mind on my account, Mrs. Noble. Mr. Barlow has been that way ever since I got here. He doesn't believe I'm serious. I'll tell you what, sir. Why don't you call my bluff, huh? Why not let Julia marry me and just tell her to be hanged? And let's see who's bluffing.
This is ridiculous. I'm going home. If you'll excuse me, Mary. Miss Marlowe.
Oh, yes, of course. I'll see you to the door.
What about you, Oliver?
Oh, I'll be along shortly. I'll get home all right. Don't you worry about me, sir.
Worry about you? Good night, Mary.
Some hours later, this same night, backstage at the Hamilton Theater just off Broadway, a halt has been called in the rehearsal that has gone on since late afternoon. And as the hot and tired cast troops off the stage, we hear...
That's it till tomorrow noon. Ooh.
How did it go, Larry? How do you think they'll like me?
Who?
Well, the audience, of course. Now, who did you think?
Oh, they'll like you fine, Claudia, if we live through these next couple of days. I was thinking of the rest of the cast.
Oh, a lot I care about them. Well, everybody's left now and hardly said a word.
Nobody's going to say an extra word when they're half dead from heat and fatigue. What do you say we get started back to Rosehaven?
I guess we'd better.
Come on, then. We'll barely get there, and then we'll have to turn right around and come back.
I was thinking the same thing, darling. Larry, why do we go back at all?
Where would we stay?
There must be some place you could put me up with everybody out of town for summer.
No, there isn't. We'd better get back to Rosehaven. Come on.
Isn't it quiet out here on the street, Larry? Hardly a car in sight.
Well, it's late. Thank goodness my car's right here. Wait till I open the door.
I say, oh, what luck. I thought I'd be sure I miss you.
That's Mr. Wilson.
Who?
Mr. Wilson, you remember Larry. We met him this afternoon.
It's such good luck finding you still here.
What are you doing in New York at this hour?
Well, it's a most remarkable story. I drove Miss Marlowe home to your house, Mr. Noble. And after we got there, I stayed for a bit to chat.
You drove Miss Marlowe home? What about my wife?
Oh, she left hours before with Mr. Barlow. And so, as I was saying, I stayed around a bit, and when I left, I must have missed the turn. I kept going until I got to this remarkable Triborough Bridge. Then I came right on through. I just happened to remember that Miss Vincent was playing at the Hamilton Theater, so I dashed over to see if she might still be here.
You didn't have any trouble finding the theater, I see.
Not a bit of it, old man. Came straight here like a homing pigeon. But then, you see, I had Miss Vincent as an incentive.
Claudia Vincent is obviously delighted at this surprise meeting, after what Maud Marlowe told her about Oliver Wilson. And as for Oliver, well, he's heard a remarkable story from the same source. Be sure to be listening tomorrow to Backstage Wife, the story of Mary Noble and her husband Larry Noble, famous Broadway star.